It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Then after high school, got married, moved out. I was 19, got married, moved out, and, you know, really spent the next 9 years just getting sicker and sicker in my addiction. And I was not a good wife. And, you know, probably my first husband would say he probably was not a good husband. But finally, I knew that I just didn't want to do the things I'd always been doing. I had heard an expression at a corporate retreat, actually, that said, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. And it was kind of one of those aha moments. I had quit going to church from age 16 and just, you know, kept running, again, repeating the cycle that I had seen. Mm-hmm. And that corporate retreat and that saying just kind of kept rolling around in my head and in my spirit. And I was, I believe, about 27 years old, and I was on a business trip in New York, and I drank a lot at dinner, had lots of cocktails before and after, and I paid for the bill. And I was there with senior executives from my company, and I just assumed that I was supposed to pay for it. Don't know why. But this was now in the 80s, but the bill was about $600.
Wow.
Right? And so I woke up, though, the next morning and realized that probably wasn't the right thing to do, and looked in the mirror at my own reflection. And I hope I never forget it, but it scared me to death, because in my reflection, I saw lifelessness. And it wasn't that I was sick and hungover. I mean, I was absolutely all of that. But there was just no light in my eyes looking back. And it scared me absolutely to death. And that was the point that when I got back to Phoenix and nearly lost my job over this, and probably rightly so, I had to pay it back, which was fine. I did. But I went to my first AA meeting. I had decided I needed to learn how to live life sober, and I didn't know anybody who didn't drink. Not everybody drank alcoholically, but I didn't know how you did that or why, except I knew I needed to. So I went to my first meeting, and the lady there said, I said, I'm not really sure what I am. And I think, you know, it's part of my own defense mechanism. I didn't really want to, you know, say, I'm an alcoholic. And the lady there, and I'm very grateful that God gave her the words, and she said, well, maybe you should try some controlled drinking. Just go and have one or two, and if you can handle that and stop, you're probably going to be fine. And I was thrilled. I said, great. She's clearly an alcoholic, so she would know I'm probably not. So great. I left there, just felt like $1 million. And got in my car and got to the end of their driveway and burst out into tears, because I'd already tried that probably several hundred times. And I knew that I couldn't just have one or two. Maybe one day one or two would work, but there was always going to be that next day that one or two led to 10 or 20. And I knew then I was exactly where I was supposed to be, and I was an alcoholic. And that acceptance was a turning point in my life. The next meeting I went to, I never did go back to that meeting place again, and I'm sure it's a pride thing, but I did find another meeting place to go. And honestly, I felt like that Jesus was sitting there and saved a seat for me. I know that a lot of believers struggle with AA because they don't, you know, talk about Jesus, and you know, that they say you can have any higher power you want. And I just decided for me, I know who my higher power is. I can be a witness to people in the meetings. I'm not going to be ashamed. The founders of AA were all about God and Jesus. Their original verbiage had that language, but they wanted healing to be available and accessible to people of all faiths, for Jewish people or for Muslim people or Buddhists or whoever, Native Americans. And so they wanted them to come in and get sober, and they trusted that God would find them, and that through that process, they encouraged spiritual growth. That's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is still my responsibility. I need to seek out who the Lord is and my part of the relationship. I need to be willing to listen to him and to grow along spiritual lines. And that's exactly what the program talks about. So for me, I never struggled that. It was get sober and then, you know, God would find a place for me.
I think that's very true. I mean, that really resonated with me on, especially about the spiritual growth. I could see why they would want people to come in, because my mom's group is like that, where God's a part of it, but it's so welcoming that people can come in who may not have a faith with God or not even really want to be a part of God, but little by little, that group was going to work on them and slowly might open their heart to him. So I could see where you're going with that. Now, at this time, were you single? Had you been divorced or were you married? Tell me about your personal life during this part.
Right. So I was married about 9.5 years. So like I said, when I was at that corporate retreat, they talked about that. I knew that I did not want to continue the behavior that I was doing. My former spouse did not want to stop drinking. He didn't see where the problem was, and we were miles apart. So at that point, we had gotten divorced, and we had struggled the entire 9 years. Some days were good, some weren't, but I might have handled things differently now, looking back on it. But at that point in time, I was very far away from God, and I just didn't want to keep being an awful wife, and I figured he deserved somebody that was more genuine, maybe, because I had just been living a lie. And it's one of those ugly truths about me that I had to face, but I knew that I didn't want to make myself feel better and purge my soul to him at his expense, and it would have been at his expense. And I knew that wouldn't be right either. So I felt the kindest thing I could have done is divorce him. And again, you know, hindsight and some maturity later, I might have done things different.
But at the time, that's what you felt like you were doing the right thing. And I don't think you could be faulted for that if you were trying to do the right thing.
I was trying to do the right thing. And I just felt like that it was the most honest thing that I could have done. And so I got sober after I was single, and for about a year, I really didn't date anybody, and I met a gentleman in the program and really loved what he had to say. It was amazing. He had all the right words. And there is a part in the program that talks about attraction rather than promotion, that you're attracted to somebody because of who they are, who they say they are, how they are. And I think that as believers, if we would embrace more of that, to instead of, as you alluded to earlier, I'm going to, you know, tell you what to do and you shouldn't do this, or you should, you know, do this other thing and you need to be good, and they preach to them or at them, that's going to repel so many people. They're not going to feel mercy and love and forgiveness. And I think that was the other part about getting sober, is that I got to meet the Lord again, really almost for the first time, if that makes sense, because I realized that a lot of what I put on myself, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not that, that's when I realized they were all just lies to keep me away. And through this program, this amazing book, I opened my own Bible and started to read and started to look for churches. And I met this gentleman there and fell in love. And after a couple years, we decided we were going to get married. And that was all great. And we started to find church, and life was wonderful. This is exactly what I wanted. A genuine relationship that people weren't chemically altered, mm-hmm. moving forward. That was so wonderful. Well, when my first daughter was born, I found out that my my second husband then had started doing drugs again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was so disappointed. I was so hurt. And I kept just thinking, you know what? Just don't freak out. It'll change. Just be patient. I was a really great wife the second time. But the problem was, in his heart, he had not surrendered. And he had not really turned over his life to God. There's a song that we sing at our church sometimes that says, I never want to go back to my old life. And for me, I would have done anything to never go back. Unfortunately for my second husband, that was, going back to his old life was an option still. So because, you know, part of my wiring is to get enmeshed in other people's stuff. You know, first of all, I was the alcoholic. Well, now I was the spouse of an alcoholic or a drug addict, mm-hmm. in his case. And I got very, very ill mentally, just caught up. So it really took me about 2.5 years and a second baby before I got out of denial and realized that this was not gonna, I could not wait out this illness. And my
own, had to be heartbreaking for you, because you said you were really in love with him. And you, for that short time, you know, looking back, that's a probably, you know, short time in your life where, you know, things were really great, and you had the marriage you wanted, you had the church going for you, and you wanted to hold on to that. And I could understand that, because most people would. They don't want to give up that dream idea of the family life they always wanted.
Exactly. It was, and I wanted that for my two children. I wanted them to have a mom and a dad that loved each other and loved God. And I really, I worked through a lot of agonizing. What's the next step? I didn't want to overreact. I wanted him to get better, and I wanted him to want sobriety. And unfortunately, that wasn't going to be the case. He had met another woman, or more than another woman, I'm not sure. More women, I guess. And I could not be married to somebody who wanted to date other people at the same time. Right. It was like, yeah, that's not going to work. So my oldest daughter was just about 2.5. And I really didn't realize how depressed I had gotten until one day she held my face in her tiny little hands and said, Mommy, are you not sad anymore? Are you going to be happy now?
Aww.
And
the fact that a little kid could pick up on
right?
that.
It broke my heart.
Sure.
And then I realized it was really her. I had no idea that I was so sad and that she knew I was sad. Mm-hmm. And so right then I thought, okay, it's time to get better. And I knew I had been a stay-at-home mom for that couple years. And I knew it. I had an infant and a 2-year-old, and it was time to go into action and get a job so that I could support them. So, oddly enough, I made one phone call, and I was even half-hearted about that. I thought, well, maybe I could just, you know, get welfare, and because I did not want to leave my children.
I can't blame you, being a mom myself. I mean, leaving your little ones, it's just heartbreaking for a woman.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I understand.
And then I had to really think about what I would be modeling. You know, I would be modeling being a victim. I would be modeling selfishness, because my wanting to stay with them was, I mean, it was out of absolute love. I didn't, the selfish part would have been that I just didn't want to be separated from them. But I had to model something different. So I made one phone call to a former employer, and they called me back in 2 hours and said, hey, can you come down tomorrow? Well, at that point in time, I really was not quite ready to move so fast. And I had not been out of my pajamas for like 2 weeks, literally. And I said, sure, I'll be there tomorrow. And I made arrangements for the girls. And I woke up that morning, Amber, and for the first time in months, I felt wonderful. I felt alive. And I know that that was God, because I could not have mustered that from my own being.
This is all the time we have for today. Please join me again next week as we continue with Wendy telling us more about her alcoholism, her struggles with it, and how she was overcoming that.